All right, let me change up on you. Let's talk some football. We are joined by a senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com, an analyst on the Pick Six podcast. Also a friend of the program, he is a busy man. He is Pete Prisco. Pete, good to have you back. How are you?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. Pete, first things first, and this is really important. You made the annual February trek to Indianapolis for the Combine, but yesterday you did tweet, and I quote, "Jackass run from back of plane alert." Now, am I correct in thinking, Pete, that somebody was on your flight trying to race up the aisle as soon as the seatbelt sign was off? Is that what you mean?
That's exactly what happened. And everybody who flies knows that guy. As soon as the plane lands, seatbelt off, he goes racing to the front because he's got to get off the plane quicker than everybody else. And I didn't get up in time, but usually I'll stand up and say, "Hey, we're all getting off the plane. Where the hell are you going?"
Jerk move. Such a jerk move. Like, that guy's any more important than the rest of us and has to be somewhere any more than we have to be. I couldn't agree more. Now, you do a lot of traveling. Where do you come out, Pete, on people who recline their seats on planes?
Well, for years, and that one video went viral, but for years I've been that guy that bangs on the back of the seat when they're sitting there. Not to that degree. I use my knees. I'm a little more calculated than that guy. I actually use my knees to bang the tray table until they look behind you. And I've had guys look behind me and they say, "What are you doing?" I said, "Your seat tray is in my face. I'm trying to work here." And ultimately they move it up. Yesterday on the flight up here, this tiny woman was sitting in the seat in front of me and she put it all the way back. So I banged it for the whole ride.
What did she say?
She didn't say one word. I think she was sleeping.
Pete Prisco joining us. All right, one more thing here. You tweeted last week, "Go to this place for lunch today. It's one of those places where they want you to cook your own food on a rock. I go out to pay for cooked food. Pass." Pete, it made me laugh out loud. How did that lunch go for you?
It was this place we were going out after during the workday, and we went to this place, and I'm sitting there, okay, let's look at the menu. And you look at something on the menu, it says stone next to it. I'm like, okay. I asked the waitress, I said, "What's that mean with stone?" She says, "Well, if you ordered the shrimp, you have to cook them." I said, "Wait, the food comes raw, you cook them on a stone? I'm paying you to cook my food, to my own food? No chance, not happening."
Pass. All right, now I could spend the entire segment talking about travel and food, but we probably should talk some football. How would you describe the atmosphere in Indy for the Combine, and how much time are you going to be logging at St. Elmo's?
Well, it's different now. They've changed this thing because they have all the events and all the throwing and all the workouts at nighttime now. So it's kind of a little bit different than it's been in years past. There's no question about that. And, you know, this is the biggest convention in the NFL. So you get to get out and go to St. Elmo's and see people and have a few adult beverages. But now it's a little different. It's changed. Some teams, the Rams didn't even send some of their guys here. So it is definitely changing. And it's funny because this thing started, when I first started, we'd go to the hotel and they'd bring players to you out in the lobby. There was probably about 20 people there total, 20 media members. Now you have all these stations and everybody, every team's represented. And, we do live programming on CBS Sports HQ on a regular basis. It's just mushroomed into this big, giant event.
All right, so if it's a big, giant event and the teams aren't sending all their people, but there is this hype and there is this attention, from your perspective, how important is it really, and who is it most important for?
I think it's most important for medicals, first and foremost. That's the number one priority here. Everybody gets, physicals, and they do the MRIs on them, and you can find out if they're healthy or not. I think number two, it's getting to know the player a little bit, even though they're rehearsed and they've been prepped and all their agents hire these people to prep them for these interviews. You do get a chance to get into the room with them and talk to them. And then see how they are in the media, how they handle that. And then I think fourth, it's the workout. I don't put a lot of credence into the workout. I know, most teams don't either. It can really help a guy if he goes and you've got to go back to the tape and say, "Hey, this guy ran faster than I thought he played. Let me go back and look," that type of thing. But I don't think it's the end all be all in terms of a workout.
We're talking to Pete Prisco. Now, Pete, this morning, Joe Burrow said that he does want to be the number one pick, that he would play for the Bengals. What do you make of that fit for him in Cincinnati?
Oh, I think it's a great fit. I talked to him off the podium for a little while, and he's got that edge to him
which
you want from your quarterback. I mean, he's not, a guy that's going to back down from the challenge. He's been involved in a bunch of them over his life, trying to get to where he was last year when he went to LSU. And he said this, when he went to LSU, it wasn't a great program from a football standpoint. And look what it became. So I think he's up for it. I think he's looking forward to it. It's down the road from his home. And they have a good situation for a young quarterback. A.J. Green will be back, whether he gets a new deal or he gets tagged. They had Tyler Boyd's a good number two receiver. If John Ross can ever stay healthy and he can run, he can help them. Then you look at the offensive line. Jonah Williams is coming back to play left tackle. That's like an extra draft pick. And Joe Mixon was phenomenal in the second part of the season last year. It's a good situation for a young quarterback.
Pete Briscoe is in Indy for the combine. Now, Pete, Chase Young announced that he is not going to work out in Indianapolis. Does that impact how you view him in any way?
Not one bit. Zero. And again, I'm a big tape guy, as are most teams, but I understand a guy wanting to work out at his own facility and be much more comfortable with that. And, you know, certain guys, they're going to go where they're going no matter what. And so why not work out at your own facility and be comfortable with it? No problem whatsoever, Jim.
All right, so one of the inflection points, Pete, in the draft has been Miami and what they do at the fifth pick. You have them taking Tua. If you're Miami or any NFL team for that matter, what do you want to know about Tua and his health before you invest a big pick like that or a high pick like that?
Yeah, I think you want to know if that hip is indeed a problem. And, you know, people will point to the ankle injuries and say that he's, you know, one of those guys that's injury prone. I don't necessarily buy that, but the hip is the major thing. If he can, you know, when's he going to be able to throw? Will he be able to be back to with the same guy before the injury? You know, that's the most important thing. And then for me, I think it's just sitting with the kid and getting an idea for how he is as a player. You know, I want to know if they have the fire in the belly. I always say that. I want my quarterback to be like Joe Burrow and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to Cincinnati and change the culture there. I want that type of guy. I don't know if Tua is that guy. He's got to prove that to me.
We're talking to Pete Briscoe. What about Justin Herbert? Is he that guy? As an example, if Tua goes fifth, that means that Justin Herbert's on the board for the Chargers, potentially at number six. Now, I had Anthony Lynn on the show earlier today. Pete, he's really high on Tyrod Taylor. Do you like the idea of bringing in Herbert and letting him learn under a vet for a while?
Yeah, and I think that's what they'll do. I think that's the plan. You let Phillip Rivers walk. You let Tyrod Taylor be the bridge quarterback, and you draft your guy. And I think when you look at it, Justin Herbert makes sense for them. He's a big, athletic, tall quarterback who can throw the football, and he's athletic. I mean, you saw it in the Rose Bowl. He ran all over the place. And teams now love the idea of the quarterback who can move. So for the Chargers, that makes a lot of sense. I don't necessarily believe that the Chargers and Tom Brady make a lot of sense. And the reason I say that is they think they're going to go in there and sell tickets just by signing Tom Brady. They're not. So I just don't see that as being the case. You got to have long-term success to sell tickets. And to have long-term success, you need a franchise quarterback that you draft and develop.
Yeah, you know, I've watched Herbert quite a bit, but I got to admit, when I went to the Rose Bowl, Pete, I was shocked. Not shocked, but couldn't be anything but impressed with how much damage he did with his legs and how many plays he made outside the pocket. Now, you had Jacksonville head coach Doug Marrone on with you for CBS Sports HQ earlier today. He said that Jacksonville's plan is to have both quarterbacks this season and to have them compete for the starting job. What do you make of that situation, and how do you expect that to play out?
Well, I think the idea is, really, he wouldn't say it, but I think Minshew goes in as the leader, and they will open it up to a competition. And, you know, look, the one thing that you can't do is, and I asked him this, I said, if you have a competition and he wins it, the kid can't be playing by looking over his shoulder at the, you know, first sign of having problems where you yank him out of there. And he said, no, that's not going to be the case. So I do think that they'll go into camp with Minshew as the guy who takes the first couple of snaps. He wouldn't say that. And then I think that, you know, they'll have a competition. But ultimately, I think they'd love to see Minshew win the job.
Pete, last thought. Emmitt Smith recently suggested that Dak Prescott should take less money so that other teammates can be paid and that Dak could probably make up the rest in endorsements. What do you make of the Hall of Famer going into his wallet?
Well, Emmitt Smith is the same guy who sat out a couple games in a contract dispute. He shouldn't be talking about anybody's money. I mean, that's a clear violation of the rules of the locker room, even though he's not in it. He's still a Dallas Cowboy player. He shouldn't have said that. And no player ever should take less money under any circumstances than what he deserves, because everybody keeps saying, oh, look at Tom Brady. Hey, Tom Brady made that up in other ways. Bottom line is get everything you can when you can, because you know what? They'll cut you quickly if you're not playing up to it.
That really is something, right? And I mean, Emmitt sat out to get more, and he's telling Dak to take less. He is a senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. He is an analyst on the Pick Six podcast. He is Pete Briscoe. Pete, great to have you back. Thanks so much for doing that.
All right, Jim. Take care.
Have fun. Pete, he's in Indy for the combine. Pete Briscoe. Emmitt did do that. Emmitt's like, come on, Dak. Take less because it's still enough, and you'll find other ways to make it up, and that way you could surround yourself with more talent and give you a better chance to win. Wait, Emmitt, you sat out games to get more. I tend to go along with Pete.